Welcome to Scrollin', episode 118. I'm Ket. Joining me, as always, Davius Starjumper. What's up, man?
Happy to be here. Happy to have a voice. No worries.
Yeah, you're like six octaves higher than last time. So that's nice.
Yeah. What's we were talking about music. I was going to get into like different. I don't even know the words. God, I don't know nothing about music, Ket.
Okay, that's fine. It's not a music podcast, so it's all good.
The music label of the sounds, whatever that's called. I don't remember. Each one, you know what I'm talking
about. We are here to discuss the Elder Scrolls Online, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And there's actually some news to get into. Last week, they had the 2024 Global Reveal event. If you haven't seen it yet, you can still go to twitch.tv/Bethesda. And just rewatch the video there, and they give a preview, basically, of what their plans are for this year. In particular, what the Q2 chapter is going to be all about. So the name of that chapter is The Gold Road, and it's going to be focused on a new zone called the West Weald. West Weald. It looks like Weald, but on the stream they pronounced it Weald.
Gotta say
Weald.
Weald.
Yeah. West Weald, directly west of Cyrodiil. It kind of goes up and down that border. They gave on that stream, they gave a pretty good preview of the zone. It's beautiful. It's very autumnal, mm-hmm. And that's the word that they used.
Great word.
Oh, yeah, like golden fields. Once again, these guys played some Elden Ring and got some inspiration. It reminds me of the Altus Plateau in Elden Ring. If you played that, like very like golden fields and just that sort of color palette. Also kind of made me think of maybe it's like a modern take on the Rift type zone. You know, it's kind of autumn-y.
Mm-hmm. That's immediately what I thought of is like same, not a lot different, like, but that same feel of the Rift, like the fall color changing.
Yeah, it's a color palette I think they haven't really explored super in depth yet in a zone. So mm-hmm. Yeah, just from what they showed off, it looks really gorgeous. I'm looking forward to
it. Did look great
to just running around there.
It did look great.
Yeah, they've been doing really good at designing zones. Like the Tilvani Peninsula, the last expansion, I thoroughly enjoyed running around in that zone, and I was actually expecting to be disappointed because it has that sort of Morrowind aesthetic. But even so, even with that, and it was that, but it was still really cool, even so. So, yeah, they also gave a pretty in-depth story overview as well. I mean, they didn't really give any detailed spoilers, but they really set the stage. They gave you some ideas of what kind of the motivations of a lot of these characters are and how they relate to each other. And they really kind of get into it if you're interested in having an idea of what the story beats are going to be surrounding and that sort of stuff. Definitely worth watching that stream and checking that out.
I thought they revealed a lot of good info. Talked a lot about like NPCs, what NPCs are going to be a part of the story. Like it was good info, good data.
Yeah, I really like the guy too, the writer guy or whatever that was talking about all the story stuff. He was really fun and very enthusiastic.
Yes.
And it's fun to listen
to. You can tell he's very passionate about like that guy. Yes. That guy likes his job and he does great. Does a great job.
Yes. It. Definitely seemed to love his job. Epic mustache.
Also. Oh yeah. Fantastic. Top notch.
So the big new feature of the Q2 expansion this year is going to be what they're calling scribing, which is just a modernized version of the old spellcrafting system that they showed off back in like 2015, I think it was. It basically is spellcrafting. It's not exactly the thing that they showed off all those years ago. They haven't really showed off all the details of it yet, but what they have shown, it's clear it's not exactly the same thing. Mm-hmm. But that DNA definitely is still in there.
Yeah.
The way they described it is you're going to unlock special skills, and then specifically those skills can then be customized to have, like, I think, three different effects, right? A primary, secondary, and tertiary effect. On top of like the base spell of what it does. So they said there's going to be a new ability added for every weapon skill line, plus a few more, is their quote. That's all the info they gave. So yeah, basically there's going to be a base spell. So like the base spell is always going to do what it does. So like one that they showed off was like this bow ability where you do like an AoE blast and then do a backflip. Looks really cool. Mm-hmm. So that spell is always going to be that. It's always going to be the AoE blast with the backflip thing. But then you can choose, you know, for your primary effect, what the damage type is going to be, like poison, fire, whatever. The secondary effect seems to be a lot of like crowd control, maybe a snare, roots, maybe some, I can't really remember, maybe some debuff options as well. And then the tertiary effect is, most of those options seem to be like buffs for yourself, like a minor expedition, your major crit buff, major damage buff, those kinds of things.
Pretty wild idea with what they've given. It's hard to, like, it's hard to kind of, I mean, obviously we need a lot more information, and it was just a very intro into it, but it's kind of wild to think about, like, the, how much customization, I mean, with three different parts that you kind of get to customize, it's gonna be a lot of different stuff happening from just character to character.
Yeah. And I think it's going to be like mythics where to start, there's going to be like a certain number that they throw into the game just to kind of get us going. But then I think future patches are just going to be they're going to keep dropping these things into the game, new spells to learn. Seems like there might be a farming element involved, or you might have to, you know, kind of like mythics, you know, there's some farming involved. I bet there's going to be, you're not just going to have these things right off the bat. You know, you're going to have to do some work to get them. There might be a skill line involved. I'm sure there is a skill line involved. For doing it and everything.
Might need to be a little grindy. That was the vibe I was getting.
I would expect that to be the case. But, I mean, I can definitely see some great possibilities. I mean, I know one thing old Betsy has been needing for a long time is snare removal and root immunity in her build. That's like one thing that she's been missing. But it's just like there are options that she has access to, but she'd have to give up something that I'm not willing to give up in order to get that. But it looks like maybe with this, there might, maybe not right away, but maybe at some point they'll introduce a spell that I can then customize that'll give me what I want.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. From my understanding, the way they're introducing it is that each weapon's probably going to have like one base ability. Like each weapon skill line's probably going to have the one base ability, and then you can customize that base ability. And then I assume the few more is going to be like a fighter's guild, mage guild type situation. Is that kind of how you took it, or did you take it like, not so one per weapon skill line, but more as they're just going to kind of sprinkle them out randomly?
Yeah, I assume like guild skill lines, mage's guild, maybe Sigic, that kind of stuff. And then I'm betting like the different effects, like the primary, secondary, tertiary effects, like the options that you have available to you there, I bet that's where the grinding comes from. You know, like having to find all those different qualities that you'll be able to choose from. And that kind of stuff. In addition to having to actually find the spell itself, I'm sure there's some farming involved with that. But that's all, you know, just guessing, basically. But no way they're going to let you just, you know,
Here's the full list. Go to town.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great point. I bet you're exactly right. I bet you're going to have to farm for the different options. And the more more farming you do, the more different options you have.
Yeah. And then another new thing they're planning to add with that chapter is they're calling them skill styles. And I called it on the Discord. I'm going to take credit for it. This is basically reskins of abilities, of skills. Mm-hmm. They describe it as color variants of popular abilities. So they're just picking out kind of specific abilities, and they're just giving them a new color, basically. Mm-hmm. So they said all of these will be earnable in-game. That's surprising. Some examples they gave, they didn't actually show them, but they just talked about them. But a wall of elements will have a purple variant. Trap beast will have an orange variant. Mage light will have a green variant. So it's going to be like these harvesting animations that you get out of loot boxes and stuff like that. I bet just ever so often, they're just going to be kind of adding new ones of these that you can get and just change the color of an ability to maybe fit the theme of your build or your character a little bit better.
Yeah. I look at this as like, you know, like outfit stations, when they introduced outfit stations and that type of look to the game, they're just doing the exact same thing again for abilities, which I'm on board for. I think it's going to be great. Like more uniqueness, more customization for the look of a character. I'm all about.
Yeah, especially if they're earnable in game. Yeah. I mean, if I have the ability to turn mage light green on my warden, why not?
Yeah.
Sure. Okay.
It'd be fan. Yeah. Yeah. Fantastic.
So yeah, I bet that'll be another thing that you just kind of continue to add over time. But yeah, that's the big reveal. Basically, we're going to Gold Road, which is the West Weald. We're getting spell crafting, basically. They're calling it scribing now. And we get the skill styles. That's kind of the big stuff that's happening with the expansion. Plus, just a really, really pretty zone. I think it can't be overstated how, like, I'm really looking forward to getting into that zone and looking around and seeing what that's all about.
And a lot of different parts of the zone. Like, with it being one zone, it seemed like it had a lot of different, like, biomes it, you know? Like, they talked about the south.
It looks really big, too, because it stretched from, like, those Aldemary zones down below all the way up to Craglorn. I mean, it stretches a huge area.
But, yeah, like, they, you know, they said there's like, a really dense forest part. There's the really cool, like, autumnal, you know? But they showed, like, different parts that, I don't know, to me it was like, it seemed like almost different biomes, like different zones almost, but they're fitting it all into one zone that works together. I thought that was pretty neat.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, yeah, there must be. I mean, for as far as you're traveling, I mean, you're going from like down there, what's that, like Grotwood or whatever, like those zones kind of down in that area. You're starting from there and going all the way up to Craglorn. I mean, that's definitely some different biomes happening there.
No way it's going to, you know, it's not going to translate to this, but it's basically top of Cyrodiil to bottom of Cyrodiil almost. No way it's that big, but that would be hilarious.
That would be hilarious. And so at the very end, they just gave a general roadmap of all of 2024, what their general plan is. So so coming up first, before that chapter, with the Q1 update 41, we're getting a dungeon DLC with two new dungeons, like always, along with some quality of life improvements. They didn't say anything about what any of that is. That's just we're getting the dungeons and some quality of life improvements. Public test server for that goes up on January 29th. So that's next week.
Man, it's crazy how quick it starts hitting.
I know. Yeah. Hey, it's about time. It's been a bit of a lull, so I'm ready for some stuff.
We'll always hit that holiday lull. Sure.
Yeah. So, yeah, that'll be next week. So on the next episode, we'll have some juicy patch notes to be getting into. And then, you know, Q2, update 42, that's the Gold Road chapter with all that stuff. Update 43 in Q3, they said we're getting a new housing-related feature, plus some quality of life stuff. So it is different this year. Q3 is not just a dead patch where they actually are adding like a significant thing.
Adding a new feature to the game.
Yeah. So new housing related feature. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if it's a whole patch just dedicated to that, I mean, the imagination just kind of starts going wild. It must be something pretty cool, I would imagine.
Seems like it's got to be something pretty big for them to name it like that. You know, it's not going to be like, oh, now you can, you know. What was it called when you could be more particular with like placing the furniture? Like it's not going to be something like that. It's going to be seemingly something pretty big.
Yeah. Who knows? Scrollingpodcast@gmail.com. What do you think it is? And then update 44 at the end of the year, Q4, we're getting two new companions and a new PvP related feature.
They said it. They said the word.
They said it. They said PvP. And I mean, it seems like it is funny that they listed the companions first. Two new companions. Oh, also, oh, by also, the way, a PvP
a
thing
new
too.
PvP related feature. Yes, that was pretty hysterical.
What's up, Sudica? Thanks for joining us on your lunch break. Good to see you from down under. So yeah, what do you think that PvP related feature? Shout out to 6-0, one of our guildmates Discord members. He says, no way it's not a 1v1 queue. Got to be a 1v1 queue. What do you think, Davis? Any guesses?
I don't know. I mean, who knows? You know, at this point, it's just new PvP-related feature. Like, I mean...
I don't even care.
I don't even care. They said it. Like, and I think they said... I feel like I've seen somewhere that it's not Cyrodiil-related, right? Have you seen that same thing?
I have not seen that. But that's good to know. Hey, you know, but technically Tales of Tribute is PvP.
Ooh. It's another card game and
it's a separate card game
in the game. Oh man, that is amazing.
That's so funny.
So good.
I could see a 1v1 queue. I could see maybe group dueling could be really cool. I don't think this would happen at all, but custom BG lobbies, we got all hyped about that possibility last year. Would super love that. It could be some totally new thing we haven't even dreamed of. You know, I have no idea. But yeah, zero details on the live stream. They just said that there's some PvP thing happening that patch. I mean, the fact that they listed companions above that tells me it's probably not going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm trying to temper my expectations.
Hey, but I mean,
companions is the main thing they're pushing there, you know.
But for PvP to get that much airtime, you know, because like last time that they did the map, it was kind of like this little hint of like, well, they said something that could be something that, but this was just straight up like a PvP related, and I'm pretty sure the words were like a new PvP feature to the game, like a new addition added to the game.
So it's not like they're changing battlegrounds or mm-hmm. It's not like they're changing something that already exists. Mm-hmm. They're adding a new thing.
Yeah.
So that's something to think of. Really, 6-0's 1v1 queue idea is the only thing that I've heard that I could see it happening. But even that seems like, I don't know, we already have dueling. Why do we need that?
Yeah, that's the one to me, is that like the dueling community seems pretty strong. Like I don't know if I would think that ESO dev team would want to jump, like get involved in that, you know?
Yeah, yeah. That's I hope it's not.
You know, we're throwing hot takes out there. I'll throw out there like Overland PvP.
I would love that.
That's what I'm going to throw.
Just remove the boundaries for dueling. Yeah. That'd be great. Or just be able to
just everybody, you know, just, you know, you don't need to go to
Syria. What if you could just enable PvP for like depending based on factions, you know? Just you can just turn it on at any time you like.
Yep.
Just anyone who's not on your faction, you can be hostile towards them. As long as you know, you both have to have it turned on.
Sure. But that would be wild, though. That would be,
dude,
wild.
I would love that. I would love that. That would be sick. Could you imagine just being out in a delve or whatever just, and be like, oh, hi there.
Just stressed out to the max the whole time. Really? I'm trying to get, you're just looking around every corner. Just, oh, man.
That's and what if while you're in that mode, you could maybe like have something to lose, like a Telvar type thing, you know, that only when you have that mode enabled, you're able to lose it or whatever.
Overland currency.
Yeah.
That.
Okay. All right. Juice is flowing.
We got something going here.
Moving on, we got some builds to talk about. This one's an exciting one. People, you want to listen up because it's finally happened. Uncle Sam. Whenever Uncle Sam sends me a build in Discord, I always listen up because he rarely does it. Yeah. And he only ever shares a build with me to talk about on the podcast if he's very, very, very confident that it's a stellar build. So if you're looking for a really good Sork build, I highly recommend checking this one out. It's just a take on the classic Uncle Sam, what we call the Sam Sork. It's an execute Sork. It's really just specializes in getting those executes, securing those kills for your team, and it's extremely good at that. So the gear setup is Kvatch Gladiator as a double bar set, Wretched Vitality on the back bar with a bow, the Asylum Lightning Staff, I'm pretty sure it's perfected, on the front bar, Gaze of Sithis Mythic Helm, and One Piece Magma. For his offense, he's using Crushing Shock, Haunting Curse, Endless Fury, and the Overload Ultimate. So you just put Curse, Fury, spam Crushing Shock until Haunting Curse pops, and then start all over again. Mm. Really, really easy. Oh, and then the jewelry is all bloodthirsty. So with the Kvatch Gladiator, it gives you like 1,000-something extra weapon and spell damage against people who are in execute range. And if you have the 3 bloodthirsty on top of that, and you're just putting that Mage's Wrath on people all over the place, then basically, anyone who gets low, that's guaranteed your kill, pretty much, is the idea of the build. And if it's just a 1v1 fight, you know, you have overload. Even though you're kind of geared towards specifically execute damage, Sorks have a lot of damage anyway, and with overload, you can kind of get people into that execute range on your own pretty easily. And that execute range is really the hard part. That's where it kind of gets difficult to finish taking their health bar out, because they have that stage 3 vampire. They start blocking and healing and panicking and all that kind of stuff. So that's where you really need the juice, is when their health bar is low. And so, you know, that's what this build's all about. Mm. Defense, it's Resolving Vigor, Hardened Ward, the Damage Shield, Bound Aegis, however you pronounce that. That's just slotted just for the passive defensive bonuses that it gives you. And then the Barrier Ultimate. Pretty basic setup. So no bird. It's basically Vigor and the Damage Shield, Hardened Ward. That's the primary way of staying alive. And then you have that Barrier Ultimate for emergencies. Let's see here. Oh, other abilities. Of course, we have Streak, Critical Surge, Hurricane, Dark Conversion. You know, that's all kind of standard Sork loadout. Talking about Bound Aegis just for a second here, because I feel like this is an ability that gets overlooked quite a bit. Uncle Sam pointed this out to me, and man, it really is a pretty loaded ability for a thing that you never actually have to cast. So while slotted, it grants minor resolve, minor protection, and increases your max magicka by 8%. On both bars, it does all that stuff on both bars. It also activates the Expert Summoner passive. It gives you an extra 8% max health. That's granted passively too. You don't actually have to cast the ability. Just having it slotted will activate that passive. It also activates the Expert Mage passive, so it gives you an extra 2% weapon and spell damage on the bar that it's slotted on.
Wow, that's
so just like 100 things.
Yeah, that's a lot going on doing. For one ability.
Just one thing sitting on your bar giving you like so much stuff. And you notice it. You definitely notice a big difference just having it there. Just, you know, more max health, more max magicka, permanent minor resolve, permanent minor protection.
Hey, a quick edit just to mention that it also activates the Daedric Protection passive. Gives you an extra 20% stamina recovery and health recovery for having it slotted. So that'll keep that passive active on one bar. You can put Haunting Curse on the other bar to keep it active on both bars. So even more stuff that that this thing is giving you just for having it slotted.
Now, the Mind Resolve is redundant. You're getting that from Vigor anyway, but it just helps maintain that uptime. Plus, all the other stuff's really great anyway. All points in health, Sugar Skulls, food, Tri-Stat potions. We've been doing these Goon Wars events that are super duper ultra mega sweaty, where like getting 5 kills is a major accomplishment, right? Uncle Sam went 18-0 in one of those matches. With this build, just kind of outrageous, you know, just the kind of performance this thing is capable of in that kind of specifically like Battlegrounds environment. Really, really good. So yeah, that's the updated Sam Sork. I think the main thing he changed since the last time he shared it with me is he got that that Asylum Staff on the front bar and Bound Aegis. Mm-hmm. Got that ability slotted.
Yeah.
And then really quick, while we're on the topic of sorcerers, I figured I'd talk about my sorcerer. His name is Intergalactic, and it's basically just a variation. It's like my take on Sam's sorcerer build that we just got done talking about. But it's different enough that it is pretty distinct. It actually plays and feels quite a bit different. But it does use Kvatch Gladiator as a front bar set with a lightning staff, Wretched on the back bar with a bow, two pieces Engine Guardian monster set.
Ooh.
Stormweaver's Cavort, Mythic Pants, and One Piece Trainee. So the gear is pretty different. I mean, you know, Kvatch and Wretched Vitality, that's the same, but some pretty different stuff happening otherwise. Stormweaver, that's the mythic that makes all of your blocking and dodging and roll dodging and breaking free. That all costs magicka instead of stamina. It also gives you an extra 300 magicka recovery. That alone is pretty nice for just a one single piece, you know, yeah, to be giving you that. So it's actually really nice. I've always liked this idea of a roly-poly mag sork. I've had this build for a while, and it actually does work surprisingly really, really well. If you're down for that kind of play style, you know, just like it's basically just like a stam sork. It's very squishy, but you have this supreme mobility that you can take advantage of. And if you know how to do it, survivability really is not a problem at all. So I really like it. You kind of feel like you're a Stam Sork when you're on defense, and you're a Mag Sork when you're on offense, and you kind of have, you know, your foot in both of those worlds, or one foot in both of those worlds at all times. Pretty cool. Engine Guardian is kind of OP. I'm really enjoying this thing. I hate playing against it so much.
It's so good, though. It's so good.
It's so darn good, and this dude's very squishy. He needs a little bit of extra help in the survivability department, and this thing helps considerably just from the body block. Also, the sustain is insanity, man. I mean, it can randomly proc and give you either stamina or magicka or health, and it's completely random, by the way. It might give you health 6 times in a row, mm-hmm, you know? Mm-hmm. But man, that that it's actually an extremely strong heal. It's like, I think 4,000 heal per second, or it's 4,000 of like whatever resource, stamina or magicka or health. Super, super, super strong. I kind of like the fact that it is random like that, just from a roleplay perspective. It's like this dude, he's like a tinkerer kind of guy. I imagine he like found this thing in some ruins and like got it kind of working, but he doesn't really know what he's doing. So it's just kind of messing up all the time. And he's like, this confounded contraption, you know.
Works perfect. Perfect for the character.
Yeah. But I mean, honestly, even though it is random, it does a really, really good job of just keeping your resources generally topped up all the time. And there are these really nice moments where it will just happen to pop up and give you exactly what you need when you need it. And when it does, man, I mean, it overflows. It's so much resources that it's giving you. So Curse Fury, Crushing Weapon is what I'm using for the spammable. That's the Psijic spammable, the stamina morph. It has a built-in major breach, which is really nice. And it's physical damage, so it can apply minor breach as well, which is very convenient to have both major and minor breach right there on my spammable. You know, I don't have to waste any other bar space on that. So just do a Curse Fury, Crushing Weapon. Easy. Done. Now, we just got done talking about Bound Aegis, which I was trying for a little while, but I tried the other morph, Bound Armaments. It's the one that summons the daggers above your head and you can shoot them at people. I'm sticking with Bound Armaments. I really like it a lot. I give up the 8% max magicka, basically, and it turns into 8% max stamina instead, which really isn't a waste in PvP at all. You know, definitely can use some stamina. But otherwise, it's a really nice just extra source of burst whenever I have all those daggers and I really want some extra sauce. I can fire those as part of my combo, and it's a lot of damage. And then the Overload Ultimate as well, of course. Defensively, I'm using Resolving Vigor and Dark Conversion are my only heals. Engine Guardian heals me as well, plus it's that body block. And then Stormweaver kind of enabling me to have that very movement-based, kind of Stamsorky kind of play style. I'm using that to stay alive. So it's very squishy. It is very squishy, but there's a lot of good passives that make me not take too much damage at once, like having Bound Armaments slotted. You know, it still gives me that 8% extra max health and all that other stuff. So, yeah, as long as you're on your toes, you're aware, you're situationally aware, you're maintaining good position and situational awareness and all that stuff, I've found survivability really hasn't been a problem. Okay, that is my Sork, Intergalactic. Davis, it's your turn to talk for a while. You have the Need for Mead, your Stamplar.
The Need for Mead. You know, we're talking about variations of build. The Need for Mead, my Stamplar, is, you know, we've joked about this. Just, it's kind of old Betsy Light, right? Like, this is the Oaken Soul version of old Betsy, if you will. And I think this most recent variation is definitely that, because me and you actually kind of put this together just one night. We were kind of tinkering and talking about it and theory crafting, and this is what we kind of came up with, and I think it's the closest old Betsy Light that the Need for Mead has been so far. So what the build is it's a 5-piece Deadly Strike on the body set, 2-piece Blood Spawn for the monster set, and then the Black Rose dual wield maces, 1-piece trainee, 1-piece druid's braid, and then the Oaken Soul ring. The bar setup is biting jabs for the spammable, and then the other kind of damage abilities is solar barrage and quick cloak. And then for the heals, it does resolving vigor and honor the dead. And then for the alt, I do crescent sweep. And so, kind of the you know, we talk about old Betsy Lights, kind of that similar setup. It's a bunch of like AoE that is stuck to the character, kind of sticks with you, undodgeable, you know, with the solar barrage, the crescent sweep, the quick cloak. You can kind of run around and be this kind of ball of AoE that's undodgeable, and it's staying wherever you're moving. Heals work out really well with the vigor and the honor of the dead. It's got good heals. It's kind of a nice, really, you know, what I talk about a lot with my Oaken Soul builds is trying to kind of make this nice, clean, tight package that tries to cover everything and stick to that theme. And I think that this Stamplar setup has kind of finally achieved that. It's very mobile, very quick, good kind of AoE damage. And then it can kind of do good damage when it needs to. It can kind of hit, get out of the fight, get on the fight, and it can kind of turn and focus on heals when need be. I think it's a nice kind of overall tidy package for a fun Stamplar build setup.
Yeah, I like that way of playing a Templar with the kind of AoE pulses. Like you were saying, it's all just kind of sticking to you because you don't have to worry about, like, if someone dodges it, mm-hmm. you have to cast it again, you know, mm-hmm. or nothing can be cleansed, nothing like that. You just kind of activate these things, and then you run in there, and it's all going, you know, it's great.
Yep, and you know, with the Deadly Strike, I think it's, you know, it's got good damage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think overall, like, the stats look good. It's got good results. It's just been kind
of well rounded. Yeah, I got really great damage set with Deadly. Bloodspawn's giving you some awesome defense. Yep. Black Rose Dual Wield's giving you both damage and defense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just kind of covering all the bases there. Got the major evasion with the
major evasion,
the quick cloak, plus the major expedition.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yep.
It's a fun build for sure. Just as you said, and I know we keep repeating it, but it really is fun to kind of run around and have this just ball of damage that follows you around that you're just not even really having to worry about. And that's the other part to the build is really fun, is it's easy. It's kind of very quick. You can hop in this build and kind of easy play because a lot of that damage you're not really having to worry about. Really, all you're focusing on is, you know, throwing your jabs in the right direction and making sure your heals are up and healing your teammate. So
none of it requires a target to cast.
Yep.
You know, you just pick a direction and go.
And just go that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of fun.
Man, kind of wish I was talking about Old Betsy now.
I was worried if I said Old Betsy. I think I said it four times. If I would have said it three times, you're just enough. Four times, now you're like, ooh, what's Old Betsy doing right now?
I've really been in Sork mode lately. I mean, I'm you know, I always play with Betsy. I don't know, once or twice a day I get a match in with her, but I don't know. It's really, Sork's been pulling at me for the last couple of months, and I've been putting together a bunch of different Sork builds and just really been digging into Sork here lately.
Time of the Sork.
It's time. One more build I'm going to talk about. I probably won't spend a lot of time on this one, but it's just it's a fun, interesting one. It's an Arcanist build, and it follows basically my standard template that I always use with Wretched Backbar with a bow, Sithis Helm, One Piece Magma, but the five piece set that I'm using is Vanguard's Challenge as a front bar set. Vanguard's Challenge is a set that when you taunt an enemy player, it increases their damage against you by 35%, but it decreases their damage against everyone else by 35%. It's a really interesting set, and I've always, like, have, you know, thought I'd like to make a build out of it, but
is there any sort of visual, like, do they know it's you that they do more damage to? Like, is it easy to tell that, I guess, is my question.
Okay, so I think there's two different questions being asked there. So there is a visual. There is a visual that makes it very clear that it's happening, but no, people do not know. They don't know what it is. I don't think anyone ever uses this set. Mm-hmm. And so I know I've never seen, like, until I put this set on and started using it, I've never seen this visual effect. And I don't think that I would see that and know that, okay, this person's taking a bunch more damage from me. I would assume that that's something doing damage to me or debuffing me or something like that. Interesting. You know?
Okay. Yeah.
So I really am not finding people are focusing me at all.
Interesting.
I'll get into that here in just a minute. So I've been wanting to use this Vanguard's Challenge set for a while, but I've always thought, like, well, taking a 35% damage debuff, just that seems insane. You know, I don't think I can do that. But with Arcanist being, you know, in the game now, they're extremely tanky. If any class can do it, it would be them. So I just started kind of, you know, fiddling around with a build here. I realized that Frost Clench, the Destro Staff ability, the Clench Morph, it's a taunt. So it counts to activate this Vanguard's Challenge set. It also guaranteed applies major and minor maim, so it reduces their damage by an additional 15% there, on top of the 35%, you know, that you get from Vanguard. Plus it roots them, you know, immobilizes them in place. It's a really great ability, full long range. So yeah, whenever you hit someone with that Frost Clench, you're giving them that major and minor maim plus the Vanguard. So you're reducing their outgoing damage by 50%. I mean, you're cutting their damage in half.
Hmm.
Now, if they're attacking me, it's not 50%, but So their damage against me is increased by 35%, but that's minus the major and minor maim. So that takes it down to like 20%. Plus I have major and minor protection on the build. So that takes it down to like, what, like 10, 5% extra damage you're doing to me, which I have like over 40K health as an Arcanist with that huge damage shield. I mean, I feel invincible, you know? So for one, people don't even realize that they're supposed to be focusing me. It doesn't like that visual effect. It's not registering to them that that's what's going on. And even if they do, you know, I don't even feel it. You know, I think most people, they look at me, they see an Arcanist with over 40K health and they're like, I'm good, man. I don't want to waste my time. They're not even going to mess with it.
I don't even want to go that direction.
Yeah. So, man, I find that I just kind of have free reign to just kind of run around and spam this stuff on everybody. And there's no cooldown on that set. You can just spam taunt on person after person after person after person. And you're putting that debuff on every single person. So that's basically all I'm really doing with the build. It's really easy. It would make a very good one bar build because I'm just kind of running around putting that on everyone else and otherwise just kind of keeping myself alive. It's an immobilized, so I'm helping with CC. I use that fear CC ability as well. So I'm just kind of going back and forth with those two abilities, CCing everyone and making sure, because that fear has some debuffs attached to it as well. And that's really all I am. It's just a CC debuff bot. It's actually very effective. The problem with it is that it's not really a healer, and I don't think it could really be a substitute for a healer. I think you still, in a sweaty match, you still are going to need a healer. And it's not a damage dealer either, you know? So I feel like in those really sweaty matches, it kind of doesn't have a place. But I have really actually been having a blast with it in the solo queue. And normally support builds are not really fun at all in the solo queue because you're just having to follow your teammates around and you're very dependent on what they're doing. This is a support build that's focused on enemies, not allies, you know. So if my enemies just want to go stand on empty flags and not engage in fights at all, well, I still have the option to go mess with some enemies, you know, and do some stuff to them and have some fun anyway. So it's actually a really fun way to support your allies in the solo queue. And when your team is playing with you and they are, you know, taking advantage of what you're doing there, then you can definitely see the effect that you're having. Because in the solo queue, things aren't all piled up like that. So it's not so important that you're not a healer or you're not a damage dealer. You know, it's all kind of chaotic and a lot of different things can work. So it is really fun. I've really enjoyed it as just like if I'm just kind of tired after work, I kind of feel like playing some BGs, but I don't really want to sweat too hard. I don't really want to try too hard. This is something that I feel like I'm contributing, I'm helping, I'm making a difference, and it's pretty easy.
Nice.
I like it. So that's Randolph, my Arcanist.
Oh, Randolph.
And that's not his like locked in build. That's just kind of a silly fun thing. It's like, what's this like? I'm going to try this, but I don't think it's something that I'm going to be sticking with for a long period of time, but it was a nice experiment just to see, like, it definitely, there is something here. I mean, it definitely works for sure.
It sets usable for sure.
Yeah, I mean, cutting everyone's damage in half against your allies is massive,
That is huge.
You have one more build to talk about, Davius, Gift of the Rift, your Nightblade.
Well, Gift of the Rift, my Nightblade. Brawler Blade, I guess technically he's a Mag Blade, but that's just, you know, that just seems crazy for me to say a Mag Blade. He's very much a Brawler Blade rather than a Mag Blade.
Yeah.
He's you know, we've joked about this. The old Nord Nightblade, there's no invisibility here. You know, there's none of that.
Right.
None of that around. but so what the build is, it's 5-piece Ravager, 3-piece Agility, and then I'm actually using 2-piece Celestrix for the monster set. Oh, yeah. You can absolutely sub out Baylork for that. No, like, that would be fantastic. Like, that'd be a great sub. I actually just don't have an extra set of Baylork, so that's how I ended up with Celestrix. And I actually have kind of liked how that's fit on the build.
Yeah, Celestrix is great.
One Piece Trainee, and then the Oaken Soul Ring. And the bar setup is the damage abilities are Concealed Weapon, Merciless Resolve, and Razor Caltrops. And then I have Refreshing Path and Shrewd Offering. So Refreshing Path kind of works as, you know, kind of, it's got a real nice hot to it. Plus, that's kind of my mobility ability, if you will, if I can say that. And then Shrewd Offering, obviously, is just one of the best heals in the game. And then for the ultimate is obviously I use Endcap. That's, you know, that's the way to go on a Nightblade. But one of my favorite things about this build is just kind of the inner workings of it, how it just kind of feeds off of it, of each other. The Razor Caltrops is kind of what drives up the Ravager. So just kind of a reminder, what that set is that you build up stacks every time you attempt to reduce a target's physical or spell resistance, you gain a stack. Each one of those stacks gives you 146 weapon and spell damage, and you can get up to 4 stacks. And then you throw, you know, with Caltrops being kind of a low-cost ability and it doing the major breach, it's just you're kind of throwing that out there, and every time it's hitting enemies, you're basically building up those stacks, and it builds up very quickly. So I like how that's kind of feeding the set. The refreshing path, you know, combined with the concealed weapon. The concealed weapon has that, you know, ability that while under the effects of Major Expedition, you get Major Berserk. I really like, you know, the refreshing path. I really like for a lot of different reasons. One, it works really well with the concealed weapon. It's really kind of a great mobility ability. It's got a pretty good HOT to it. But I also like just what it does for the team. Like it's kind of a really good team ability. I feel like you can kind of, the team kind of recognizes it, kind of sees what it can do. Heal, you know, can see the HOT there. And then it's handy given that many, you know, that many members of the team, that kind of speed. So
doesn't it give minor recovery buffs too?
Yes. Or minor endurance and minor intellect to allies in the area. Nice. So,
I mean, that's not everyone has those. That's pretty nice.
So I just love that ability for just kind of the team comp that it brings of just kind of giving a lot of good stuff to teammates while still being kind of on this brawler blade. It's, you know, Shrewd Offering is such a great heal. You can always step back. That combined with that refreshing path, you can kind of go into a heal mode if need be. And then like I said, you can absolutely do Baylorg. I like Celestrix. With the Celestrix, to me, with all of the Caltrops and things like that, I really like how much CC is kind of built into the build. And so that's why I like Celestrix. It's kind of a good AoE, additional CC opportunities. And then the build hits great. You know, the concealed weapon, you know, Merciless Resolve is always going to hit hard, Endcap. So it's got good finishing power. Caltrops is, you know, at least always kind of making it your area. You can kind of choose your area to fight. You're always throwing that down, and that's always additional pressure. And so once again, kind of the same thing I said about the last, you know, with a lot of my Oaken Soul builds, I kind of like the kind of neat tidy package to try to have kind of everything. And really my favorite thing about this build is just, like I said, the inner workings, like each ability feeding off of another ability, or each ability giving something else to a different part of the build. And then, you know, just putting all that together, and it just kind of feeds off each other. And then it gets to a point where once you get that Ravager up, you're hitting very hard on top of the Nightblade's already great, you know, damage ability. So it's a lot of fun. It's very much a brawler blade for sure. It is get in the fight and do what you can.
I really like the idea of using Caltrops for Ravager. Mm-hmm. That's a really cool idea. You can just kind of throw it out there, and it's reducing everyone's armor, so you're going to build those stacks really, really fast. Plus, it's you know, it's applying that major breach, it's slowing them down. It's a pretty good dot as well.
Yeah,
getting a lot out of that one ability.
It's a great ability on its own, but the fact that it's giving you that much more weapon and spell damage is just it's just an extra cherry on top for sure.
I haven't seen that dude in action very much. I remember when you put the build together, we did some BGs like that night, and I was like, man, that dude's rocking. I hadn't really seen him in action.
He kind of got put on the shelf, and I've kind of brought him off and dusted him off a hill recently. It was kind of one of those builds that, like, you know, I did some changes because it's been a while since I played with him, so I had to do some shift on the overall max stats. Like, I shifted a lot more to health and you know, kind of lowered the max magic and max stamina. Fit it to kind of make it a little bit more modern with what today's BG needs. But I was like, oh, it was kind of one of those builds. I was like, man, I forgot about this build, but like, I love it. It's a lot of fun.
Like Ravager, Celestrix, and what else?
3-piece agility, 1 trainee, and the Oaken Soul.
scrollinpodcast@gmail.com is our email address. If you'd like to send us an email, we encourage it. You should do that. What can the emails be about, Davis? They could tell us a joke. They can make a suggestion for the show.
Favorite sandwich topping, I think, has always been a classic on the podcast. We've always talked about
anything food related. Sure. Strongly encouraged.
Yep, absolutely. Sorry. Absolutely.
scrollingpodcast@gmail.com. Every episode, Davis is going to pick his favorite of the bunch, and then we're going to give them some gold. Mm-hmm. If they're on the PCNA server, it's going to be 125K gold this time. If they're on the Xbox NA server, it's however much they have to give over there. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm, which it is. Mm-hmm. They'll give you something.
If it's
any other platform, sorry. I'm sorry if it's on any other platform. There's nothing we can do for you. Good day, sir.
Good day, sir.
First email comes from Brock. Brock's on Xbox NA. He says, just started listening to the podcast. I was actually looking for a Discord server to join recently, and you guys are really cool.
Nice.
Would love to join that and the guild too, if you'll have me. That's the whole email, but I just wanted to point out, he said that we're really cool.
There's
proof right there.
Brock said it. We're really cool.
I wasn't sure if he even wanted this to be on the show. He was just asking to be invited to the guild, basically. But I was like, well, he called us cool.
I love that's how I imagine your question. Now, Brock, you called us cool. Are you okay with me admitting that to others? that's good.
Thanks for writing, Brock. And Brock, he's in there. He's actually been chatting quite a bit, and he just made himself comfortable, made himself right at home. It's good to have him.
Perfect.
Next email comes from, I think it's pronounced Viteris, is how I've been saying it.
Okay.
On the PCNA server, subject is I love scrolling.
Nice.
Viteris says, "Hello, Ket and Davius. Just gotta say, I love the podcast. It has gotten me back into ESO and loving the PvP experience. When I first started out, I hated BGs and only wanted to do Cyrodiil. But after your podcast, I gave BGs a second chance, and honestly, I've been leaning towards BGs over Ciro, LOL. All your builds are so very interesting and just really fun to play. I have definitely copied Ket's famous Gaze of Sithis / Magma Incarnate combo as a standard template." Don't forget the Wretched, dude. Don't forget the Wretched.
Nice.
I do have a couple of questions for both of you. Number one, what is your favorite bit of Elder Scrolls lore? So we'll just stop and answer that one, and then we'll do the other questions after that. Davis, favorite bit of Elder Scrolls lore?
I mean, you know it's Nord based.
Sure.
Gosh. Probably. Boy, this is tough. What a question to to ask. You're making me choose from my Norse. I would probably say, I don't know how familiar, you know, I don't know how familiar the listeners are with Nord lore per se, but
Nord lore. That's just fun.
That's the Nord lore to say. But I would probably say my favorite bit is Yzgrimor's story with Wuthred, which is his famous axe, and that's like a whole. The companions are tied into that, and in the five, there's a whole lore to that. There's a whole story about him, and he's got 500 companions, and they were kind of all these heroes. Highly recommend it. Look up Wuthred the Axe. Look up Yzgrimor. You'll dive right into it, and you'll just see a whole kind of story all tied to that. And that's probably my favorite.
There's a con in the chat says a sword singer once split an atom with his spirit sword thingy and nuked their homeland. Okay, that's a cool piece of lore. You know, I don't know if I have a favorite piece of lore other than for a while I used to have a really boring job, like office job, where I just like messed around on the internet all day pretty much. And I was on the UESP just reading the lore of the Elder Scrolls one day from the very beginning.
Nice.
And I found like the dawn, like the origin of the universe stuff to be super duper interesting. Very like a Tolkien Silmarillion kind of stuff. If you ever read that, it's just like how this all came to be. If you search, if you do a Google search for UESP Dawn Era, that'll take you straight to the page and you can just start reading there. Just like how even existence started, you know, and all these, it's like a lot of names that you've seen in lore books, and you've probably like in quests, you've heard people invoke names of different things. You have no idea what they are or who they are, but this really kind of pinpoints it like, oh, this name is like the third being to ever exist ever, you know, like kind of crazy stuff, there. And there's like all these entire, like, worlds and universes that came into existence and blinked out of existence, you know, like came and went and came and went and came and went again long before Nern was ever even here. That stuff is very interesting to me. Once the actual Nern is here and there's actual like people and, you know, political intrigue and stuff like that, I'm kind of losing interest already by then. Okay, so second question from Viteris is, why are brawlers the best? Seems like whenever I play on one of my brawlers, things tend to go in my favor.
Amen.
Yeah, they're good at certain things. I think it's, you know, what are brawlers best at? I think that this kind of is something that I see in a lot of people, especially a lot of people who spend time in Stormhaven, is they're... perception of who's the best and who's the worst is very much based on 1v1 fights. Mm-hmm. And I think if that's what you're doing is a lot of 1v1 fights, I mean, that's specifically what a brawler is designed to do, is to be the best in that situation.
Yep.
And I see a lot of like Stormhaven duelers that are really, really good at dueling, and I'll see them in BGs, and it's interesting to see how they play versus people who pretty much only do BGs. Because these guys are going in there and they're basically just trying to get into a bunch of duels, like one duel after another, after another, after another. And that's how they play. And some matches that works pretty well. You can do that sometimes, but oftentimes you cannot do that. So, you know, sometimes a brawler is the best. Sometimes it's not. It just kind of depends on the situation and what else is going on in the environment. If you're in Stormhaven, yeah, probably a brawler is going to do pretty well most of the time.
I personally like brawlers just because I like being in the thick of the fight. But with that, being in the thick of a fight, you also put yourself in the most risk. It's kind of like the high risk, high reward situation for brawlers for sure.
Yeah, and you know, a few episodes ago, we had our BG report where we were ranking all the classes and how effective they are in BGs. And specifically for the solo queue, I had Dragon Knights at the bottom of my list, yeah. And I think our combined list, they were still like maybe second to last, pretty low down there. And Dragon Knights, no question, are extremely good in duels and in group play and everything else. I mean, they're borderline overpowered, but when you're in a solo battleground, you don't know what kind of team you're going to have, and you don't know if you're going to have any support or not. Dragon Knights tend to struggle in that kind of environment. You know, that's a situation where a brawler is not necessarily the best. You know, a Sork's going to be having an awesome time in that situation.
Yeah, because that, in that situation, the nobody's going to be hitting the Sork, and everybody will be hitting the Dragon Knight.
Right, exactly. Okay, let's see how it's blanked out. How the funky town do you guys deal with Arcanists? Looking at kill counter on any of my characters, it's always Arcanist as my biggest threat. How in the world do you escape from the stun?
It's a two-part question.
Yeah, two-part question. I'll field this one first. I think my number one answer is just don't fight them. Mm-hmm. That's the main way you deal with Arcanists. They're too tanky. They do not die. Unless you know that it's just a noob, you know, then fine, maybe give it a try. But even then, I don't know. Don't waste too much energy on it. They don't die. Mm-hmm. It's just not worth the effort. As far as escaping the stun goes, I mean, it really just comes down to two simple things. It's resource management. You got to make sure you have enough stamina to break a stun, and fast reaction time. There's nothing more to it than that, right? They put that stun on you. You got to be able to react fast. And as long as you have the stamina to do it, then you're out of the stun. But I think something that I see a lot of people struggle with against Arcanist, it's not just that stun. It's the fact that they're getting stunned and rooted mm-hmm. with that tentacle. And a lot of people, especially people who don't play a ton of PvP, they're not aware that they're being crowd controlled in two different ways, right? And they're thinking that they're breaking out when they're really not. So you know, an Arcanist will put that fear on you, and that'll hard stun you. And then when you break out of that, you can't be stunned again for another 5 seconds, but you can be immobilized. Because that's on a separate cooldown. So they'll fear you. You'll break out of that fear. Then they'll immobilize you. And a lot of times you'll see people wondering, I just broke out of this stun. Why can I still not move? It's because you need to dodge out of that immobilize or cast race against time or something like that. It's two different forms of CC you have to deal with. So you just have to be aware of that. Roots and stuns are two different types of CC. They have two different cooldowns. Just because you break out of a stun doesn't mean you're not still rooted. You can still be rooted and vice versa. So I think being aware of that will probably help quite a bit. Plus that resource management and fast reaction time. That's all it's going to come down to.
I think that on exactly what you just said with the stun and the root with, you know, with an Arcanist usually too, you also have a beam that is thrown almost always the beam is then thrown on you too, which kind of creates an extra level of panic. Like, you know, you've got to get moving quick. And so it usually, it's a lethal combo when all three of those tie together.
Yeah. Yeah. And good Arcanists are really good with that timing too, you know, and they'll kind of play mind games with you and kind of save those CCs for these crucial moments when they know you're going to be in the middle of a roll dodge and things like that. And it can be a challenge, but I think just simply being aware that those two types of CC are happening and just pay attention to that resource management and be on your toes and just get away. Because once you get a little ways away, their range is not very far, actually, and it's pretty easy to get away from them. Mm-hmm. Make sure you have major expedition and snare removal, like Race Against Time or something like that in your build.
Yep.
Viteris closes by saying, thank you guys for what you do, and please keep making content. Best regards, Viteris. Or Veteris, sorry if I'm pronouncing it wrong.
It's one of those two.
Yeah, thanks for writing.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you very much for writing. Next email comes from Hazel Eyes. Hazel Eyes on the PCNA server. They say, hello, I found your podcast and look forward to future casts. I love listening to you guys talk about theorycraft. I would love to hear more about why something works and explain how the sets might buff boost your skills and how making changes to the set may change how your skills work. Thanks for the great podcast and delivery. Always something I'm looking forward to. Hazel Eyes. No, thank you very much for the suggestion. We're always looking for that kind of stuff that I want to hear what people want to hear us talk about, because that's what we want to talk about. We want to give the people what they want.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so.
Absolutely.
Appreciate that. It's hard to kind of find that balance, because I'm always trying to, like, be informative and, like, hey, here's something you may not know. But I also don't want to be, like, talking as if I'm speaking to a total noob. You know, I know, like, a lot of people that listen are not noobs at all. I don't want to just be talking down to them, you know, like they don't know anything. Mm-hmm. So finding that balance where I'm speaking to people that play the game, but we're also kind of educating a little bit at the same time. That's where we're trying to find that happy medium there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks for writing, Hazel Eyes. Hazel Eyes actually came to one of our duos events last week and had a really awesome time. She was like giggling and laughing. She's like, I died like 100 times, but I'm having a blast.
Nice. That's awesome.
We had some real heavy hitters in there that night. We were all dying. Next email comes from Zemo, good friend of ours. Zemo says, if each class were a band member, which member would they be? Love, Zemo. Thanks for writing, Zemo. Okay, I was thinking a little bit about this.
This is going to be intriguing.
So, Sorks are the lead guitarists, I'm pretty sure.
Yep, that makes sense. Flashy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Real flashy, you know, they're wanting all the attention. Probably Dragon Knights are the drummer.
Yep. That's what I was thinking, right? Too. Yep, they're on the drums.
They're just angry, yeah, they're just hitting things.
Loud noises, you know, a lot of energy back there.
Yeah. Warden's the bass player.
Oh, 100% Warden is the bass. 100%.
That harmonic foundation that the rest of the song is built upon. That's the Warden right there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I think probably Templar's like rhythm guitar, you know, just kind of providing some good solid structure, just kind of in the middle harmonic range there. Necromancer is just like multi-percussion, you know, they're just back there with like tambourines and triangles and wood
got
blocks.
The cymbals, the cowbell. They like got the cowbell.
You just hang out over there in the corner, buddy. Yeah. Try not to play too loud, all right?
Necro is banging on the cowbell, 100%.
Yeah, he's got the cowbell.
The triangle.
Little bells and whistles.
Oh, man, that's
stuff
good.
Like that.
Yes, absolutely agree with that.
Let's see. Oh, Arcanist. Okay, for sure, Arcanist is the keyboardist, okay? He's like one of these keyboardists. Nice. He's got the... You know, he's got the tentacle arm. He's got all these tentacles. So he's surrounded with this cage of like 30 different keyboards. You know, he's playing all these like organs and synthesizers and stuff like that.
The band's really coming together here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
We still have Nightblade. So is Nightblade our lead singer here?
Nightblade's just the lead singer. Yeah. He's just
not playing an instrument at all. Singer. Just microphone.
No instrument.
Just that's microphone.
Typical Nightblade. Not contributing. Just showing up, basically.
just singing. Just all vocals, you know. There's a lot.
He's half drunk.
Yeah. There's a lot of instrumentals in the song where they're just standing there holding the mic, you know, bobbing their head. Probably doing a little dance, you know.
Sure. Yeah. He's not very good at it, but he's doing it.
Oh, that's so good. That worked out perfectly, by the way. Just perfectly. Yeah.
That's a pretty good band.
That's the ESO band right there.
All right. Great question, Zemo. Thanks for writing, dude. Okay, man, we have a bunch of emails this episode. Next and last email comes from Dudagon on Xbox NA. Dudagon's actually one of our Xbox NA guild leaders.
Yep.
Big shout out to Dudagon. And speaking of which, what he's saying here is, so we've been doing these solo BG parties where we queue at the same time and try to get into matches together. We've had games with 10 and 12 of the 12, I'm sorry, with 10 and 11 of the 12 participants in our voice chat. We've had a few of these, and Red Derp and I want to shout out a bunch of the people who have been super active. Those people are Cat, Burly, Barbecue, House, Masked Beauty, Shifty, and many more. Xbox goons are here to stay. Dudagon.
Love it. How awesome is this?
Love it.
I mean, we're cross-platform. I mean, we are truly... Dudagon and the Xbox. Shout out to all the Xbox players, man. We are truly cross platform, and they're doing pretty awesome things on Xbox.
Heck, the Xbox crowd's going to outnumber the PC people here pretty soon, man. They're growing fast.
They are growing fast. There's a lot going on. It's pretty great. It's great.
All right, Davis, pick a favorite email, man.
I gotta go with Zemo. I mean, the band.
That's just, the one, right? That's so good.
That's
the one.
That's such a great question. So much fun. Piecing it through, and just as we're talking through it, it just fell in place so perfectly.
It's so perfect.
It's so perfect. Fantastic. Yeah, gotta go Zemo on that one. Congrats.
I love Zemo. Remember Animal from the Muppets? You ever see him play drums? Yes, like on any of those sketches?
That's the DK on the drums. Knight. Yes, 100%.
Just like that.
Yes, 100% the case.
I'm a drummer, so you know that makes me laugh. I like that. Okay, Zemo, what was it? 125k gold coming your way next time I log in, dude. We have a guild. The guild's name is Stoons Goons. It is literally the best PvP guild in the game. Not even joking. It also just so happens to be the best named guild on the PCNA server, and it's the official guild of the Scroll and Podcast. We're on the PCNA and Xbox NA server. If you'd like to join, email us at scrollandpodcast@gmail.com, and we'll send you an invite. If your guild list is full, or if you're on a different platform, that's okay. Come join the Discord. Everyone on the Discord is a fully fledged goon. Everyone is welcome. scrollandpodcast@gmail.com. If you'd like to support the show, one easy thing you can do is go to the Apple Podcast app and give us a star rating, and especially a written review. That just increases visibility for the show, helps more people find us. If you'd like to go a step further than that, you can go to patreon.com/scrollandpodcast. And sign up to receive Stoons Boon for $3 a month. That gets you access to a number of things, including the Booncast, which is a shorter solo podcast I do on the off weeks, still Elder Scrolls related. Other ways you can help: if you're in the guild on PCNA or Xbox NA, you can just drop stuff into the guild bank, you know, crafting mats, gold, anything you like. And of course, at the very least, just join the Discord and be our friend. Just, you know, talking to us about build ideas and different stuff that actually feeds ideas for the podcast quite a bit. So just being our friend is a great way to help. Shout out to Uncle Sam, Slavka, Nachu, 6-0, Wanna Buy My Dog, Ricky Bass. We've all been playing a lot. It's been a lot of fun. Shout out to the chat, Grizzly Con, Sudica, KDMS was in here earlier.
Yep.
I think Zemo popped in for a minute. Thank you guys very much for being here. Great to see you all. Shout out to the Elder Goons, the OGs. Thank you guys so much for just being around for so long and being our friends. We really appreciate you. And shout out to our Stoons Boon recipients, our Patreon supporters, Porkbody, Toadster, Gummy Bear, Grizzly Khan, Thomas, Taggard, Mother of Dragons, Sudica, Jim, Maxwell, Derp and Stuff, Dudagon, Brewerman, and one new one, Brock.
Nice.
Who was one of our email people.
Yeah.
Thank you, Brock. I don't know why I always stop on Jim's name. I think it's just because it's like one simple syllable. It's such a like a
Jim is when you name, it, you know. Well, Jim will forever be the inhale. You know, you're getting that second breath for the next part of the list. You know, that's just where Jim falls on the list.
I think I just like that it's such a simple name amidst all these odd names. You know, it's just
an old Jim.
It's Mother of Dragons, Sudoka, Jim.
Jim. You know, inhale and then continue.
Just amidst all the gummy bear, grizzly con, I don't know.
So good. So good.
Thank you guys very much. We appreciate it. Davis, you have anything else?
I think that's it.
Okay. Thank you guys very much for listening, and we'll see you next time. Snap. 3, 2, 1.
Boom.
Nice.
I don't have my I don't have my radio voice this time, you know? Back to just my usual sound and boring self.
Yeah, dude. What a bummer. We need you out there licking handrails and stuff. Yeah. Okay, what the heck?
Just go stand out with a sign that says, please cough on me. Please. Walk by, throw a couple coughs my way. No big
free thing. French kisses.
Free French kisses. I'm just standing out there the whole day, like, not a one. What's the deal? Like,
what happened? Not you, single... sir. You, sir.
You, hey. You look like... Chasing people down.
It's crazy. We've already come up with a show title.
Yeah. Yeah, for free sure. Free French kisses. Free French kisses.